Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, to another broadcast of Can We Talk Radio, coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, Raz Williams. We have a very impactful show for you this evening. We are going to be talking about conquering insecurities and low self-esteem. There's a lot of people out there making dumb and stupid choices and decisions with their lives that are having devastating, life-changing effects. Why? All because they believe a lie. A lie that told them they were not good enough. We're going to be talking about this today in hopes that it will help somebody out and really discuss where low self-esteem comes from and, more importantly, how to conquer it. To call into today's show with a question or comment, please call us at 347-945-7310. Again, call us at 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio@gmail.com. Again, can we talk radio, @gmail.com. I want to go ahead and introduce the panel today, and, you know, she's no stranger to the show. She was actually missing in action last week, and they had a little different vibe because since she was missing, she always brings some sort of colorful energy to the situation. So, Alicia, how are you, ma'am? It's good to have you back.
Oh, good. Good to be back, Raz. Thank you. Yes, I did miss you guys last week. I listened to the show, and it was a great topic, and sounds like you guys had a really good time. So wish I could have been there.
Definitely. And, you know, I'm going to ask you this question, Alicia. Did you watch the movie?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man, you didn't. I knew it. Well, Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good.
You sound good, bro. How's your day, man?
Yeah, I'm happy. You know, God's been blessing me with some customers and some new opportunities. I'm just thankful to be walking in the truth. So I'm happy.
Wow, that's awesome, Ronnie. Looks like we got Alicia back. And Alicia, you didn't have to hang up the phone on us now. Alicia, you there? Okay, we're having some experiences, some technical difficulties with Alicia. Alicia, please call us back. Last but not least, we have our favorite psychological therapist in the house, Lorraine Klein.
Yeah.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. Lorraine, it's so good to have you back on our show. We really appreciate your time taken out from your family to be here and contributing to the people that need to hear your voice and hear your wisdom and the things that you have to say. Lorraine, how's your week been?
It's been good. I'm always blessed, and I'm always grateful for what I have, and, you know, I'm in a good place. Thank you.
Wonderful. Lorraine, let me ask you, what do you think about today's topic?
I think it's a really good topic, and I think it affects a lot of people. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to share and learn from each other and be able to maybe even respond to some of the people that are out there listening that are stuck in places that are affecting them because of their self-esteem or lack of self-confidence, and, you know, get them to a place where God can actually work in their lives and use them, and they can move over to the positive side.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to see if we have Alicia back online. Alicia, are you back online?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Ronnie, I thought I offended her when I asked about the movie. She just kind of like went out of post.
No, see, you put me on blast again. All right, no, wasn't offended. Looks like we're having a few phone challenges, but hopefully those got worked out. And, yes, I'm here and hope to stay with you guys for the rest of the show, but I have not seen the movie.
Okay, you can't explain why?
You said, could I explain why?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, this has been a hectic few weeks, and so I have been extremely busy, and not to say that's an excuse because I believe you can make time for what you want to do. I just need to actually go see it, and this upcoming week I'm going to be out of town, and so hopefully the following week I can go. Maybe I'll squeeze in some time on Sunday if I have an opportunity. So, sorry
okay.
I haven't seen it, and no, I
all
can't
right.
even give my feedback on it.
I know, right? That's what I was looking forward to. Ronnie, hey, what do you think about the new Iron Man movie coming out, bro?
You know what? My little bro went to check it out, and, you know, I was a Tony Stark fan since the cartoon, so they did a good job with the first one. I didn't even see the second one, so I'm going to see what the reviews are when they get back tonight.
Oh, definitely. I'm actually going to watch
it,
guys. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to go and watch it tonight after the show, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I'm a big Marvel Comics fan since I was a kid. And, you know, definitely I heard it was the best show, the best movie, even better than number one, as a matter of fact. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching that and checking it out.
Well, you know, guys, it's about that time. Last week I didn't do this, but I'm gonna go back to our tradition. It's corny joke time. You guys ready for that?
Yes, we're ready. Brace yourself, guys.
Okay. I have a couple of jokes that I, you know, try to be funny. I think I'm a pretty funny guy. I don't know. I don't care what Alicia says, but anyway. But, okay, I got a couple of jokes.
I always laugh at your jokes, Raz, so what are you saying?
Oh, are you laughing at them or laughing at me?
Well, I'm just saying I laugh.
Okay, that's good. Okay, hopefully we can get Lorraine to laugh as well.
All right.
Either way, laughter is a merry medicine, whether we're laughing at you or with you.
See, that's a good response.
There you go. You got me. That's good. All right. Okay, so let's check this out, guys. What do you get when you cross a dog with a telephone?
A dog with a telephone. I don't know. What?
Oh, no.
A golden receiver.
Wow. Oh, gosh. That, okay,
Raz. All right, here's the last joke. Okay. What did the dog say when he sat on the sandpaper?
Brush me.
Ruff, ruff.
Right. Had to be.
All right.
All right, so hold on a second. Okay, well, again, we're going to have to let the judges, you know, Alicia didn't like that much, guys, so you heard what she didn't. She was down on my jokes, but guys, what did you think of my jokes?
Oh, you all right? Yep. Good problem, love.
Standing ovation. Did you hear that?
Oh, gosh. Sounds like Raz has his own cheering section.
Yes, you do.
There you go. Guys, if you're tuning into the show for the first time, we're talking about conquering low self-esteem and insecurities. Call us at the show at 347-945-7310. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a testimony you'd like to share with the panel, please call us at 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com.
How you see yourself and how you feel about yourself will affect just about every aspect of your life. You will probably think, speak, act, and react as the person you think you are. The book of Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The real you is the person that God sees, not the image you project. The truth is, you will never rise above the image you have of yourself in your own mind. In developing a healthy self-image, you must base your self-image on what God says about him, you in the Word. rather than the false, fickle standards of society. Low self-esteem just doesn't affect the person's internal workings. It can also have dangerous external consequences. Low self-esteem has been linked to delinquency, substance abuse, eating disorders, alcoholism, promiscuity, depression, violence, racism, and underachievement. It can even invite victimization and, yes, even make a person suicidal. Scary, huh? I want to tackle this today's topic in a few different areas. I want to talk about the roots of low self-esteem, where they come from. And Lorraine, I know you've done a lot of work in this area, and I want to kind of start with you on this question. What, in your opinion, what are the root causes of low self-esteem? Where do they come from?
Well, you know, our self-esteem is created, or it's influenced by our upbringing a lot. So our interaction that we have with our parents and the people that are close to us, or schoolmates, or the people that are influencing us as we're going through developmental stages, can have an impact on our core self-esteem, some of the core things that we may struggle with. Self-esteem can also be caused by, you know, if you're going through a difficult time and you're depressed and you start filtering things as dark and negative, then you get discouraged and then you feel like, you know, you're not able to do things. It affects every area of your life. Self-esteem can lead to depression, as you said, can lead to all sorts of things, including all of those behaviors. But the core place where it begins is the message that we receive from our parents. That's really the bottom line. And it's not to blame parents. You know, all of us had some parents who were good. Some had single parents. Some had no parents. They were raised by other family members, which that in itself, it can cause issues with your self-esteem. But it doesn't have to. Those are things that when we grow and we mature and we change and we learn, we have choices we can make. We can choose to let somebody else define our self-esteem, or we can, as a believer, we can look to the Word and see the value that we have and allow God to heal us in those areas. He does use people, though, and it's allowing people to speak truth into our life and to take it in and not, you know, dismiss it with our core belief that, well, I'm not good enough because if I was good enough, my dad wouldn't have left, or those kind of messages.
Absolutely. Ronnie, what do you think about that question?
Well, when I'm thinking of the root of the low self-esteem and insecurity, I've never seen I agree that it does have probably most percent to do with the upbringing, because I've never seen an insecure baby. I've never seen a toddler, you know, with esteem issues. It's usually once you get into school and once you start attaching or identifying yourself according to society, you know, starting in your grade schools and, you know, things of that nature, that's when you start seeing, or you might even fall for, that you don't fit in here or you're not able to do that, and so you start to limit yourself. And so I do agree that it has a lot to do with the upbringing, and it does have a lot to do with who your peers are, who you're around, and the things that you're actually accepting, because you accept, you know, the state of your esteem. You know, it's something that you accept. It's not necessarily true, the limitations that you box yourself in. So I do think it has to do a lot with upbringing.
Absolutely. This is an open question I want to ask the panel. Anyone feel free to answer this question. Based upon what Lorraine and Ronnie just said, I truly believe that Satan, who is the enemy of our souls and the enemy of our destinies, he understands this concept. Therefore, what he does is I think when we're growing up as children, that's our most formidable and vulnerable stage of our lives. So this is the time when he implants false belief systems about the world that we're interacting with around us, and maybe the Lorraine mentioned about our parenting style. So what do you think about that Satan strategy as far as attacking us at a younger age to implant false belief systems, i.e. low self-esteem and insecurities. And that's open to anyone.
Well, Neil, I'll speak to that for a second. I agree with you, and I believe that he's the father of lies, and, you know, he comes to destroy, and I think that can begin in childhood. So if we feel like we have our family members and there's issues that are going on and maybe we're not getting enough attention from our mom or our dad or whoever because of their own issues that they haven't dealt with, then we start feeling like, well, maybe I'm not good enough and I don't measure up. And if I was a better kid, then maybe the parent would pay more attention to me and want to be there for me. And then we grow up and we go to school and we have kids and there's certain people that we want to be friends with, but they kind of, you know, they aren't interested. And again, we're back to feeling that same familiar feeling of, oh, I'm not good enough. That person doesn't want to be friends with me, or they're making fun of me. And that can continue on. And I believe the enemy can even bring reoccurring situations to kind of reinforce that initial lie that we buy into. And we get stuck because we fully have bought into the lie that I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't have these certain qualities. And that's the lie. And I think the enemy reinforces it throughout our life until we come to a place where we say, no, that's not the truth. You know, God created me in his image the way he wanted me to be. And that's the truth, not the other that is the lie. So that's what I would have to say about that. I agree with you.
Awesome. That's definitely a good comment. Alicia, I'd like to ask, do you have anything to comment about that?
Well, just echoing what Lorraine just mentioned, I do agree with that. When you think about the strategy of the enemy, that if he starts to attack you at a young age and implanting lies in your mind, and that's your formidable years, then it's going to carry with you throughout the rest of your life, potentially, if you don't ever come into the knowledge of truth. And so if he can attack you in those very young years and start implanting thoughts there through people, words they may speak over your life, then that's going to directly affect how you see yourself. And you're never going to rise above your own self-image. You're never going to go beyond how you see yourself or what you believe you can accomplish. And so having a positive self-image and positive self-esteem or high self-esteem is so important because it's going to influence how you feel about yourself and what you believe you can ultimately do. And so if you don't see yourself as being valuable or see yourself in a good, positive, healthy way in light of who God created you to be because of the lies that the enemy has brought, then he realizes that his plan is going to be successful because it's going to ultimately deter you from fulfilling your God-given purpose.
Wow. Yep. Guys, once again, why do we have Alicia on the show? Because it's not like that. Did you hear what she just said? Okay. You know, I want to talk about Satan's strategy in a little bit more focus and detail. I believe that Satan is very cunning. He uses low self-esteem as weapons against us. He uses inferiority, inadequacy, self-belittling to defeat Christians and prevent them from realizing their full potential as God's children. And as Satan, as you know, the Bible describes him as the prince of the power of the air. Therefore, he has certain unique abilities to project thoughts into our minds. And Ronnie, I want to direct that question to you and see if you have a comment about Satan's wiles and his devices in order to create suggestions, illustrations, and different mechanisms that he does to try to hijack our souls and get us to buy into these false belief systems.
Well, if we look at how he did it in the garden, you know, God created Adam and Eve, and they were good, they were fine, they were perfect, they were in right standing with God, but he caused them to see themselves as not good enough, and so they fell, and because they believed his lie. They were just fine the way they were fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, in the presence of the Father with direct connection to the Father, but he came in and told them they could be better or they just weren't good enough. And it's the same today. You know, unfortunately, the enemy has a lot more help because of, you know, media, commercials, the image that's projected is the image of the world, and the enemy is the god of this world. So the image that you're going to get on the average is letting a lot of percentage of society feel that they don't fit the bill. And they, you know, some people turn to mutilating themselves, starving themselves, or they fall into the low self-esteem, or they just stay limited and don't try to go where their heart's telling them to go, because they've been told by this false system that, you know, it's not for them. And so the enemy does do that, and the enemy's real subtle, extremely subtle. You know, and a lot of things are done without words and direct sentences. Sometimes, you know, you could just look around and see what things are made for and what society is gearing towards. And, you know, if it's not how you were made naturally, if you don't know that God made you in his image, you might think you aren't good enough. So, you know, that's part of the enemy's plan, is to get man to feel that he's inadequate or she is not good enough, but that's just so far from the truth. God made you perfect the way you are to please him. But the enemy is in constant, we're under constant attack. That's another thing that goes like undealt with. We're under constant attack, and if we don't let God be our strength, if we don't let God and his word be our final say-so, we'll always fall for it.
Wow, that's a good comment, Ronnie, and I definitely second what you just said there. Lorraine, do you have anything to add to what Ronnie said?
No, I totally agree with him. Everything he said is very accurate. And that, I think the enemy's work is made easier these days because of the media. And aside from media, the materialism of people and the constant comparing that person has a better car or a better house or lives in a better area or a better job or I don't make enough money. So that there's areas throughout your life that there's this constant need for measuring up. And our tendency is to look at the things we fall short in and not at anything that we've done that has been positive or has been an accomplishment. So, you know, if we do something and we've done a good job at it, but somebody else comes along and did better, then all of a sudden we haven't done good enough and we're back to feeling like we haven't measured up once again. So I think we live in a culture that makes the enemy's job very easy.
Yeah, that's absolutely, definitely. You know, Ronnie and Lorraine, as you guys were talking, a scripture came to mind, and that was 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And again, that's, you know, God leaves us kind of, you know, he leaves us clues as, you know, look, don't buy into this system of this world, this false belief system. You know, the world has a way of boosting you up one day and tearing you down the next day. And they pretty much control the images and the you know, the what's hot, what's not, what's in, what's beautiful, what's ugly. They try to dictate that. And if you buy into that system, you exclude yourself from the love of God. You know, so that's something that came to my mind as you guys were speaking. I want to talk about what are some of the basic problems that come from low self-esteem. And I identified probably about five or six areas, which were insecurity, jealousy, anger, fear, selfishness, and guilt. And I want to quickly, guys, touch upon those five different areas. I want to start off with insecurity. I define insecurity as a sense of worthlessness, which fosters insecurity and hopelessness. Lorraine, how does insecurity, how is that a part of low self-esteem, and how does it affect people?
Well, insecurity can paralyze people because they're so afraid of making a wrong decision or a wrong choice, or they don't think they're good enough, or they have all of these restrictions they put on themselves that they can actually be paralyzed from their insecurity. They are going to second guess if somebody has an interest in them and says something positive. They will deflect it by thinking, oh, but if you knew this about me, you wouldn't like me, or you wouldn't,
wow,
you wouldn't be saying that positive thing. So in those kinds of things can be happening with low insecurity, you know, with being insecure and low self-esteem.
Yeah, wow, that's very true. The next point I want to talk about is jealousy. Jealousy is defined as doubting your own self-worth, jealous of people who appear better than us. Ronnie, what do you think about jealousy as being an integral part of low self-esteem?
I think jealousy could become extremely dangerous because behind jealousy, you know, I've seen feuds that were unnecessary. I've seen fights that were unnecessary. I've seen backstabbings that were unnecessary all because of a jealousy. I mean, I've been in situations, not that I have anything to truly brag about. You know, I'm thankful to God for everything I have, but as a, you know, in my younger days, you know, I saw how some jealousy caused me to get into fights and, you know, fall into the rumor mill, you know, and sometimes you don't understand why. You know, if you don't notice that somebody's next to you who you think is a friend is jealous of you, you know, that could be a dangerous relationship because this is how a lot of boyfriends end up cheating on their girl with the girl's best friend, because the girl's best friend was jealous of her, or the vice versa. And, you know, these things, jealousy could really make somebody feel that they're doing someone wrong is justified. You know, that jealousy will give them a false reason to, you know, do something evil to somebody. And so I think that jealousy out of insecurity can become real dangerous. Could even lead to death, I believe.
And you know what that reminds me of, Lonnie, is Cain and Abel.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Mm. That jealousy turned into anger, and that anger turned into the taking of a life, straight up.
Definitely, definitely. And here's a really good one that I identified was selfishness. A lack of self-esteem produces total absorption in meeting our own needs. I thought that was pretty deep. And I want to target that question or comment to Alicia.
Yes, how selfishness plays into low self-esteem. Well, I believe that when our self-esteem is, when we have low self-esteem, and you think about the whole concept of not feeling good about yourself, oftentimes if you don't know your identity in Christ, you're going to begin to look for value and worth in maybe the things, material things around you. And so you can become a very selfish individual where all of your attention now becomes in an unhealthy way balanced all on yourself. You know, you're constantly thinking about me, 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 and not ever looking outside of you to look at other people because you're, at the heart of it, really not feeling secure at who you are. So I definitely believe that selfishness and low self-esteem have definitely a close connection. And so really you have to feel better about yourself if you don't want to be out of balance in how you even love yourself, or constantly, almost it really can become like a idolizing yourself. You put yourself on this pedestal where you're looking at yourself in an unhealthy way and not necessarily looking at yourself from a balanced perspective.
That's good. Wow, that's deep. You know, I remember a quick story. When I first moved to California back in 2000, I was working for my brother's friend, and he was a pretty successful guy. You know, he was 6'4", you know, light-skinned dude and whatnot, you know, and he was like, Raz, we're walking in the mall. He goes, Raz, I can have any woman I want in this mall. I goes, really? I goes, how so? He goes, well, you know, when I became successful, it boosted my confidence. I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, I can have any woman I want because I have money. And it's just as amazing how when you were talking about that, Alicia, he had tied his success, you know, he was so self-absorbed in the things that he acquired, like the business, the money, the car, the clothes, as pretty much, you know, he absorbed those things into his persons and used that to boost his value as a human being. So that was just an interesting, you know, parallel.
Yeah, and that's true.
Yep.
That is true, and there's also those that they're insecure. They're insecure because they grew up in poverty. They didn't have enough money, and so they didn't feel good enough. And it's very important to them that they have money because that ties into their self-esteem. So they will work, and they will work, and they will attain what they need. They'll have savings, and there's plenty of money to support themselves and live very comfortably above and beyond most of our means, and it's still not enough to them. They never can have enough money to feel good enough. And then their marriage starts having problems because the wife feels like the money is more important than me, and she doesn't fully understand that it's not about the money. It's about the insecurity that they're nursing, and so there's never enough of that money. So it can affect marriages. Everything is tied to a core, deeper issue, and it's self-esteem is, you're right, when you talk about insecurities, it can affect selfishness. He appears very selfish, you know, that type of a person, so.
Wow, that's deep. That's definitely a good point, Lorraine. Guys, what do you think about anger? How does anger get its foothold in insecurity? As far as I believe that comparing yourself with others can make you possibly angry or resentful. Like, you know, some girls, you know, when you look in the mall, women are always competing with each other as far as comparing themselves amongst each other. And if maybe one girl's body parts is larger than the other girl's body parts, there's resentfulness and anger that starts to brew. What do you think about that? I'm going to direct that question to Lorraine.
Well, I think anger can play a part definitely in this. And comparing yourself, and I think it goes back to that same thing. The anger is an umbrella emotion, and that's typically not the actual underneath emotion. And so when you're going digging deep down, somebody's angry because they're hurt or they're afraid or they, you know, it's those core underneath feelings that they're really experiencing. So it's that insecurity it's getting tapped into that causes the anger because they're powerless and they can't control it and they, you know, so they're reacting in anger. So.
Yes, definitely. I want to talk about guilt. This is where we focus on failure rather than forgiveness, and we're defeated by guilty feelings. And the reason why I mention guilt is because I've noticed, like, parents who perhaps were experienced a breakup and as a result felt very guilty, and therefore they allowed their kids to actually pretty much control them. And they felt very disempowered in being an effective parent. And Lorraine, what do you think about that as far as how guilt can affect someone's low self-esteem?
Well, it's a vicious cycle. It's, you know, somebody, as with that example specifically, when somebody goes through a divorce and they have their children and they see their kids are impacted and they try to overcompensate and then they feel guilty because they're not home enough and they feel guilty because of all of these other things. So it's a cycle that continues to contribute to their low self-esteem. It's another, them looking at an area that they have not done well in or they feel they failed in. So that defines everything. Instead of, I'm still a good parent, I'm providing for my child, I'm here with them every day and night, you know, I do have to work, but they don't look at the positive. They focus on the negative and they allow that to kind of shape their whole image of who they are and filter everything through that lack of power, you know, self-doubt, low self-esteem place. And once people start taking responsibility for their own, you know, their self and what they're doing, and they start taking steps to do things different, if you ask somebody about an area they're doing well in, they feel confident and they feel strong, and you can see that glimmer of positive self-esteem in them. Those are the areas when people are making proactive steps to do stuff different that are healthy, and that's what our desire is for everybody, whatever area they're focused on.
Definitely, absolutely.
I'm probably getting ahead of you, so.
No, you're doing good. You're doing great. That's good. I want to talk about. I wanted to kind of go into this a little deeper. I want to talk about how Satan uses low self-esteem as psychological weapons. In which way does he do it? I want to refer to, and I was talking to Ronnie about this earlier on today, and I want to talk about the parable of the man with the talents, and those who read the Bible, I'm sure you've heard about this parable where a master gave each of his servants different talents, and one particular guy buried his talent in the ground. He didn't do anything with his talents, and I submit to you he did that because he was insecure, he was scared, he was fearful of not losing what was given to him. So he paralyzed himself by hiding his talents in the ground, and his master came back and said, you wicked servant. Ronnie, I want to direct that question to you and see what you think about that parable and how this plays into the area of low self esteem.
I believe that spiritually you're vulnerable for the enemy if you're walking in self esteem, low self esteem, that is. If your confidence isn't in the Savior, then your confidence might be, you look to yourself for confidence. And if you feel that you don't measure up to the task, like in this parable was the use, being wise with the money of the master, then you'll shrink. You'll automatically shrink and, you'll get the same results as that parable. You won't utilize the time you're given. You won't notice the attributes for success that you do have, and you'll miss out on opportunities. You just won't show up, or they won't accept me anyway, and then you'll make excuses to not go forward and excel, and the enemy will use that to contain you. Even if you come to Christ, if you're not walking in Christ truly, the enemy doesn't mind just keeping you on the bench as a member of the body. He can attack you mentally to keep you from ministering. I was in a conversation with someone who said, they didn't feel that they could minister to someone or witness to someone because the person knew about their past life. And that's the enemy.
Wow.
Using his power. You see it? That's the enemy using his power against you. And you can break the enemy's power, but if you accept these sort of things, then you'll bury the money and hope that would be okay out of fear. And as Lorraine said earlier, you're paralyzed. You automatically look at why you can't do a thing, and you totally forget all the abilities that you have to succeed. And so the enemy is preys on that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, guys, if you're listening, we're talking about conquering low self-esteem and insecurities. Guys, you heard what Ronnie said. Those of you who have dreams, aspirations to do great and marvelous and wonderful things, please do it. Don't allow your preconceived doom and gloom predictions and prophecies of your life to hinder you and stop you. Get up. Listen to what we're talking about. We're trying to help you. That's what I got to say about that. I feel that the enemy, like you said, Ronnie, he really tries to immobilize you. And like the children of Israel, remember that story? Guys, remember that story when God had taken them out of Egypt, out of a bad situation, through the wilderness. And his ultimate goal was to get them to the promised land, where he was going to dispossess the people that were in there already and give it to the children of Israel. But what did they say? Oh, we're like grasshoppers. We can't go in there.
Yeah.
They're bigger than us. We're not good enough. What a slap in God's face, man. For real? God said, okay, some of you are going to die. Those of you who are younger and are not plagued with these false belief systems, you can come on in. But the others, bye bye. Alicia, what do you have to say about that?
That's a powerful, powerful story to look at, because what it shows you is how you see yourself will definitely impact how far you can go in accomplishing the things God has for you. And even when God has an amazing plan for your life, we have to recognize that our will plays such an important role in that, that God, just like the children of Israel, had an amazing plan to take them into the promised land, but because of the way they saw themselves, they never entered into the fullness of what God wanted for their life. And so the same way for us, when we look at our life, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But if you don't believe that and you keep looking at yourself the way of the past, the things that God has delivered you from, then even though he sets you free from that situation, you will still be in bondage to it because your mindset has never changed. And so that's why the word of God and just so is so important, because it tells us clearly in Romans that we have to be renewed in the power, renewed in our mind daily.
Yeah.
This is a daily process. And if we don't daily renew the way that we think, we will never get beyond our current situation. And so I just say that we have to look at the lessons from the Bible, the children of Israel, and so often we can look at those stories and say, gosh, how could you be so foolish? God had this great plan for your life. But what we don't realize is so often so many of us are living out that same future that we see the children of Israel lived out right there in the wilderness. They never got beyond that place because they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And the interesting thing about that story is that even as you go further down and they finally get to the promised land, once Joshua and Caleb take them in and they begin to hear the story and Rahab tells them, they're like, wow, we were so afraid of you guys. We thought you guys were coming to do this and coming to do that. And here they saw them as this mighty army, but they saw themselves as defeated. So it didn't even matter. So I just say it's just so, I mean, it's so key how you see yourself. You absolutely have to see yourself the way Christ Jesus created you. You have to have your identity shaped and fashioned according to who you are in Christ.
Absolutely. You know, we have a caller from the 714 area code. Caller from the 714 area code, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Great. Thanks for calling the show. And do you have a question or comment?
I just had a comment. Good show. I just really appreciated, was it Alicia that just last spoke, talking about Jeremiah 29:11. Those are just really profound scriptures for me. But the thing I wanted to comment on, I'm not altogether, I don't think, comfortable with the term self-esteem. Even though it's a broad subject, I think it has a very narrow answer, and I understand what you are talking about when you say low self-esteem. I think Lorraine mentioned earlier about how, you know, the original lie when we're younger is Satan brings to us people that reinforce that lie, I'm not good enough, I'm uglier, or people want to use me. Whatever the lie is, you know, through our life, how Satan has people come in and wants to reinforce that lie. And so we get this, what we call low self-esteem. I think the thing that Satan does is he takes that term self-esteem that focuses myself, that focuses or puts my focus on self. And the Word of God says that we're to esteem others higher than ourselves, because the assumption is we already love ourselves. It's the Word of God says to love others as we love ourselves. So there's already that self-love thing that we got going. It's just this lie has been reinforced, and when we don't know the Word, we don't know, you know, God said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knit us together in our mother's womb, and he came to this world and he died for my sins, not just the world's sins, but he came to die for my sins. That puts a very high value on who I am. And when we don't know the Word, then we believe the lie that everybody else says to us. And then Satan reinforces that by saying, oh, you need self-esteem. And so now I get my eyes on myself, and they're like the gentleman was saying, we get our eyes on ourselves and we start looking at how much money I have and how handsome I am and how tall and all these things that we do. And then that defeats it as well. But when we put our eyes on what the Word of God says about our worth in Him, like Alicia was saying, then all of a sudden this self-esteem that we want, it's in Christ. And it's not about myself. It's about Christ.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to say. I understand, you know, the world's terms for these things, and
right.
I see how that plays out. I just wasn't super comfortable. I've never been comfortable with the word self-esteem, because the Bible doesn't say to esteem myself. The Bible talks
exactly.
about to esteem others.
That's true. The Bible also tells us to die to self as well, and you made a very, very good point. So what's your name, sir?
I'm Bill.
Bill, and Bill, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Anaheim.
Okay, wonderful. Bill, that was an excellent comment. Ronnie, what do you have to say to Bill?
No, Bill's right. You know, of course, for the show and for you know, maybe everyone is not reading their Bibles will use that term, but Bill is exactly right. To have self-esteem is to look into yourself and rely on yourself. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to look,
no.
to help others, and we're also called to rely on the Savior. And so that,
yeah.
that whole perception of, you know, what's my self-esteem and what do I do to boost my self-esteem, yeah, that's you're in a defeated race right there.
Yeah, I get what the terms we're using, so everybody can have a commonality base of where we're started on. But
we brought that just like that. That's real. That's true.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for the show, and I'll let someone else have a chance to comment.
Hey, Bill, definitely. Thanks for calling back, and
thanks
for calling us. And then please call back, Bill. We really appreciate your comment. That was an awesome comment. Alicia, before Bill goes, do you have anything to say to that?
Bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I appreciate his clarification, because it is so important to understand the distinction, that when we really understand, as he was wanting to really clarify, that when we become believers in Christ Jesus, we do become new creations. And so once we are in Christ, our identity is in Him. And so it really is about how we see ourselves through our identity in Him. And so it really is about having, if you want to say, a good, healthy feeling of yourself or image of yourself based upon your relationship and your new standing in Christ Jesus. So I definitely agree with the point of clarification that he was making.
Definitely. He made a very awesome point, and God bless you, Bill, for calling us in, and thank you so much for your important comment. It was definitely good to hear that clarification. Lorraine, do you have anything to say about what Bill had commented on just now?
No, I agree with him. I think when you were talking about self-esteem, the focus is on self, and it is looking to self to make yourself feel better and look better, and it isn't about that, because there is not enough that we can do or say to ourselves to have that kind of impact on our lives that's going to undo some of the things that have been put in us. Only God can do that. That's just a work of the Holy Spirit and us coming to the truth. So I completely agree with him.
Amen. Definitely. Absolutely. I want to continue our conversation. Guys, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're talking about conquering low self-esteem and insecurities. And we had a caller from Anaheim from the 714 area code who made a very important distinction that when it comes to the Word of God, there should not be any discussion about self, because, number one, we're supposed to die to self and we're supposed to esteem others more higher than we esteem ourselves. And we're supposed to do things through God's ability, not of our own ability. So that was a very important distinction, guys. So, guys, for those of you who are listening, it's very important for us to take the focus off ourselves and put our faith and hope in God's ability, not our own. And it's God who elevates us. The scripture, I can't remember the exact scripture, but it says, for those of you who want to become great, you must first become the least of these. So that was a very important point that Bill had made, and I hope that he calls us back again next week. And guys, if you have more points like that, please call in. We want to hear from you. We're here to learn. We're here to grow, and we're just here to really discuss the Word of God and get it in. So, but I want to go back to this real quick, and
I want to talk about how, and I'm going to modify based upon Bill's comment. I'm going to modify what I'm going to say now. I would say for those of you who are not too astute in the Word of God, low self-esteem / false belief systems.
Yeah.
So how else can that affect us? I think, Ronnie, you mentioned something very interesting, how it can sabotage your ministry. I believe that there are people walking around today that are pastors that God has called them to be very important people in society to help people, but because of the false belief systems that they believe about themselves, they're not good enough, they can't speak, they don't they maybe overweight. There's people that think because they're overweight they're ugly. These are the images in the world that Satan puts out there that people buy into because this is what they've been used to. This is what the world on a continuous basis pumps out there. I want to talk about how that can really, you know, I know we've been talking about it, but I really want to home in on, especially when it comes to ministry, how that can cause people to abort their ministry.
I, you know what, when you said that, something struck me from a past experience. And Al, you mentioned that, you know, some people might feel limited due to their self-perception, and so they won't go out. But I've had an experience where, you know, this particular pastor, you know, was able to speak, you know, was good on stage, but the only, I don't want to say stage, was good in a sermon. You know, a good speaker, you could see the passion and things like that, and, you know, but the problem was the person wouldn't be their own self. The person wouldn't be his own self, meaning, you know, as a member of the congregation, I just came to hear what God is telling you, you know. And so, you know, I'm here because of your efforts and, you know, the drive that you have, the zeal, pretty much, you know. And so as I started looking into the person and looking at other ministers, I'm seeing that this person's whole ministry was based on other people, when I believe that if that minister that I was seeing were to just be himself and seek God on his own and not actually try to do the cookie cutout thing, because I don't know what his reason was, but I could tell that he could do without the assistance of what's accepted in the contemporary church, and he could have just did his own thing, but for some reason, he wouldn't just be himself. And so I believe that falls in the line of how he saw himself. I mean, it just seemed like he preferred what the other people were teaching over maybe what God was putting in his heart, so he was just, you know, just echoing everything that was being said on the televisions and on the radios.
Definitely, that's deep. That's powerful. I want to ask this question to Alicia. Alicia, there are a lot of young women out there and women, you know, slightly older women who probably have an issue with their self-appearance, their self-image as far as the way they look, their appearance, their weight. They may feel that they're of a certain race, like say they're African American. They may feel they're too dark or they're too fat. They don't have, you know, they don't have the features that is considered to be beautiful. What would you say to and as a result of that, they suffer from low self esteem, low self worth. They base maybe they're not getting the attention from the opposite sex that they desire to have. Therefore they feel that their worth as a woman or value as a woman is not where it needs to be. And I feel that it's so dangerous because that kind of belief system, Satan will always send men with agendas to these women to take advantage of them. And as a result of their low self-worth, they will ultimately make choices and decisions that will destroy their lives. What do you have to say about that?
Well, what I would say to women who may find themselves in that sort of predicament, and I'm sure there are a lot of women out there who fit that description that you just mentioned, and what I would say is we definitely have to once again go back to the Word of God. We have to go back to our Creator and what He tells us. Even when we look in the book of Genesis, He says that we are made in His image. And so the first thing that I would say to young women is that we have to see ourselves the way God created us, and we have to believe what He
says about us is true and not the things that we hear from other people. And when you think about the fact that we're made in the image of God, it really changes, once again, how you begin to even feel about how you feel about yourself and how you see yourself, because God is a perfect God. And knowing that we've been made in the image of an all-powerful, all-perfect God, it just makes you think, wow, and I'm made according to your likeness. And so I just believe women have to find their identity and who they are through the Word of God. I know for myself, throughout different stages of my life, it's so amazing how as I've grown in my knowledge of God, the way that I see myself has totally changed. And ultimately, the way you begin to see yourself through Christ Jesus, the things that you will or will not accept from, you know, if it's a man that may be mistreating you or different situations like that, it begins to completely change. Because now you recognize your value. You recognize that I'm made in the image of an almighty God. He's told me I'm his masterpiece. He says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and this I know full well. And so when you begin to grab a hold of all of those wonderful scriptures and really begin to, as it says in the Word of God, meditate on those things day and night, ultimately you're beginning to shape your view of how you see yourself in the proper context, and that is in how God created you and how he sees you. So I would really, it's absolutely essential, because if you don't get your view from the Word of God, you're not going to have a healthy view of yourself, because it
right.
doesn't matter how beautiful you are, it doesn't matter how, you know, attractive you are, there's always going to be somebody more attractive. And then when you get older, you're going to always, you know, have this, oh, my gosh, I'm aging, you know. So you can never base your self-sense of worth based upon what the world sets as a standard, because the world standard is constantly changing. One day what you have may be in, the next day what you have may be out. So does that now mean you're no longer good enough? No. So that's why I say your foundation has to be on the Word of God.
Wow. And guys, you've seen the old ladies dressing like they're 25. I mean, how embarrassing is that? You know, but anyway.
Grass, you're calling some women out now. And you know what that really comes from? I just believe it's just women trying to hold on to that sense of youthfulness. You know, I think about, and I say this person just because as an example, but I think, well, I'll just say in general, think about some of the celebrities, and I'm sure we could probably identify numbers of them. But I think about even some of the celebrities that we see. You see how they dress like little teeny boppers. And when you realize, whoa, you're in your 40s? And it's like you're trying to almost compete with the tweens that are coming up. And that's because they feel like, whoa, my place in this world is getting knocked off because somebody else is coming along. That's why we have to ultimately know where our identity comes from, and that comes from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Alicia, if you will, you mentioned something real important. You said that the way you see yourself now was way different than how you saw yourself in your early 20s or maybe when you were a teenager. And I think that especially for women, that is so important, because a lot of women out there walking around as if because of they may have a nice body, they may have the body parts that gain the favor of men. So as a consequence of that, they become very prideful, and their self worth is based upon the way they look sexually, and you know, to a man. Can you kind of go in on that real quick and kind of break that down? How did you see yourself back then, and how did you relate to guys? And then how has that changed as you've gotten older or more mature in the Word of God?
Well, what I was meaning by that is, for example, and once again, I'm tying into kind of some of the things that have been discussed earlier, oftentimes the way we see ourselves in different things of that nature is directly affected by our experiences growing up. And so one of my experiences growing up is my natural father was not a part of my life, and I never had an idea that impacted the way that I saw myself. And so even as, you know, going through high school, college, and different things like that, even though I felt good about myself and never even connected certain things, one of the things that I realized is that I remember dating a guy in high school and through college for a period of time. And during that season, the things that I would accept and tolerate from him, I know that was directly connected to, you know, just not understanding my worth in Christ Jesus. But now it's so interesting, and that's what I was saying. Now that I know who I am in Christ, the same people, guys, who could come to me and maybe skip their game, if you want to say it that way, then, and I would give them an ear to hear, now you just couldn't do that because now I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And because of that, my sense of worth has totally changed. Like the guy walking down the street, bebopping his music, and I'm like thinking to myself, don't look, and I don't mean it in a prideful way, but understanding that I know who I am in Christ, you just can't come and say anything, and then I'm going to be like, oh, okay. No, I know my worth in him, and because I do know that now, that same guy I couldn't fall for now. Because my sense of how I feel about myself is different. And so that's what I was meaning by that. And so even for women who may find themselves in that sort of position and maybe even find themselves in that position where maybe their whole sense of self-worth is based upon some man telling them, wow, look at your chest, or wow, look at your butt, you know, all of these different physical different attributes. As I was saying, that at some point there may be a girl whose, you know, rear end is bigger than yours, or a girl who's prettier than yours. I mean, I'm on auditions or in L.A. frequently, and I come in contact with a lot of beautiful women. And if I constantly, every single day, looked at how many attractive women came across my pathway, especially in L.A., at some point you would start to feel like, oh, gosh, I don't feel pretty. Oh, gosh, I don't feel this. But because I know who I am in Christ Jesus, my sense of worth is not based upon what you see in this physical. It's based upon truly the root of, I know that through him I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and those sort of attributes. So I just say women have to be able to draw the line of distinction there.
You know what, Alicia, hold that thought.
Okay. Oh, my God, Brad. Did you really just do that?
You know what, that was well put. I mean, guys, did you hear what she said? OMG. I mean, I like what you just said there, Alicia. Now, Lorraine, I want to ask you this question. I mean, how many men and women have given their bodies to people who really didn't love them because they didn't value who they were? Like Alicia was talking about, as she grew in her identity and who she was in Jesus Christ, that the same men that were that would try to, you know, probably manipulate her back then could not do the same thing currently. How devastating is it for women and men alike to you know, to give their bodies over to people who really don't respect them or love them, all because they have low self-esteem?
Well, it's very devastating, and it has long-term ramifications, because the more they engage in that behavior, the less they, the more they feel that low self-esteem or that lack of self-worth, because they've compromised something that they know in their heart of hearts that that's not the way it should be. And whether they're a believer or not, it's still very impactful. And I agree with Alicia. Even from a personal experience, I very much struggled with this issue when I was younger, and spent time in relationships I wouldn't now, because I've grown in the Lord and I know who I am in him, and there's a sense of healthiness that you get. And you, when you're in it, though, you're so desperate, and you allow other people to define you, and you let other people make you feel, you know, I'm not good enough. Just on the flip side of thinking, you know, somebody building themselves up pridefully because they think they have it all, which is eventually going to fade, there's also the other side where you don't feel like you have enough. And then you think about, well, if I have surgery, then I can fix that part and I can fix this part. And you're constantly putting yourself in a place of having to fix yourself to be good enough. And that's never going to happen either, because the work is done on the inside. It's not about the outside, it's the inside. You know, and men and women alike, the people that they're with in relationship, you know, if you're in a healthy relationship, that person should be building you up, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at each other and love each other and build each other up. And if you're in a relationship with somebody that's telling you, well, you know, you really need to change this, and, you know, I think you should need to go to the gym more, and have you thought about surgery? You know, hey, I'd be willing to pay for surgery for that. Well, then that's not what the kind of relationship that God would want you to be in. And if you're in that and you're staying in that, that's a red flag to look at. Does this person really care about me? You know, is this the kind of person that God would have in my life? But when somebody compromises physically, men and women, aside from the fact of how it impacts them, there's also the consequence of those, you know, pregnancies that happen that result in abortions, and then women have to make those hard decisions and live with those choices that also affect them and have babies that they weren't planning on having. So there's just a ton of ramifications from that, and it's all based in a person feeling like they just don't measure up, but this person thinks they're good enough, and so what they have to kind of be to that person, what that person's expecting.
Absolutely. That's a very awesome point you made there, Lorraine. Ronnie, if you will, I want to kind of talk to you real quick about this. I want to give a shout-out to the men that have been rejected by females out there who were really harsh. I mean, I know a lot of guys when I was in college, I think we talked about this in previous shows before, where they were looked over because they didn't have the swagger, you know, of a thug, or they didn't look a certain way or talk a certain way. These guys were just hard-working, honest dudes out there just trying to work and really build a career, and consequently were rejected, and some dudes I know that were devastated, and for me, I have to say to these dudes out there right now that, you know, that's men who are suffering out there. I know one of you is listening, so, you know, God, I mean, you are a man of God, and God has approved you. I mean, so don't fear rejection from the opposite sex. You know, you cannot be wise enough to understand and know that not everyone's going to like you, not everyone's going to be for you, but you are going to be for the one that you're for or made for. So have confidence in that, and do not allow anyone to talk you down or make you feel that you're less than, because you are made in God's image. And you cannot, like the Lord said, you cannot allow anyone to define who you are. They didn't die for you. They did not make you. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. And they have no control over your destiny. God is too wise to allow somebody else to have any influence over your destiny that he created you for.
Right.
Exactly.
So, Ron, can we talk about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, for guys, you know, I can't speak for every single guy, but I do understand how at some point, I'm sure things haven't changed, you know, since I was a youth, and since, you know, I was just in society and following the crowd and trying to fit in, you know. And so if you find yourself in a position that you're trying to fit in, but you weren't created to fit in, so you're going to run into some difficulties. You won't be accepted in certain circles, and this could affect the way you view yourself, because you might think that you're not capable. But you don't overlook the fact that you were created in God's image to please God, to be fruitful, to multiply. You know, there's far much more you were created to do and be than just fit in. And so first I'd like to just say to that fit-in mentality, just stay away from it. Don't try to fit in with the crowd, you know. Then I would say I could see how society could affect your self-esteem if you want to fit in, you know. So
exactly.
That's why the Savior said, "I'm in the world, but not of the world," and that needs to be your mentality as well. I'm here. I understand what's going on, but what's going on has no control over how I view myself or my relationship with the Savior, and so. I understand. I've been in places where, you know, I felt like, you know, how come I don't have with this and that? But I always was comfortable with myself and my own skin. But I can tell, you know, there were certain times where I was like, man, if I would have just, or if I probably, you know, she would have noticed me if I this and that. But like I said, I never had a problem with being myself. But I do understand. I do understand that, so I just would like to encourage anybody who's out there dealing with that as a man. If you are willing to work for your own things, if you're willing to be a helper, if you're willing to be courteous, if you're willing to have a true relationship, an unashamed relationship with God, you are a perfect candidate for a good woman, period. And I wouldn't let anything make me see myself otherwise, because you were created to be a leader. You were created to be a provider. And if your activities involve those things, you're in good standing, especially if you have your relationship with God through Christ the way it should be. I wouldn't let society's standard make me look left or right. So just be encouraged.
Wow, that's, man, Ron, that was some awesome advice right there, and I hope, guys, you listened to what he just said. I know I did. That definitely blessed me. So, guys, we kind of discussed, we kind of talked about the effects of low self-esteem and false belief systems that cause low self-esteem. I want to talk about the solution. What is the solution? How should we start viewing ourselves? How do we take a negative that the world and the devil have systematically used to keep us down, and how do we now redefine that and move forward to propel ourselves into our destinies? So, Lorraine, I want to ask you, Lorraine, what do you feel are some practical solutions that if those that are struggling with lack of confidence, those who are struggling with false belief systems about who they are and what they can do and how they look and how they perceive by other people around them, what would you have to say to those people?
Well, first of all, I would say that they really need to be in the Word and let the Word define who they are, because God can do that. And what He tells us is to take our thoughts captive. And I think that's very important, because when you take your thought captive, that means the second that negative thought comes in your mind that says, oh, you're not good enough, that you take that thought and you grab a hold of it and say, no, you don't have power over me anymore, because I am good enough. Because the Word of God says, I'm the apple of His eye. And you fight it back with the truth. So taking your thoughts captive is the basic first thing you need to do. Because if you take that thought and it comes and you say, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm not that good, and I remember that guy, he didn't like me, or remember that girl, I asked her out and she rejected me, and you start entertaining those thoughts, before you know it, you're going to be back in that stuck place again. And when you're talking about self-esteem, this not only affects us, but it affects who we are in Christ and what His purpose and plan is for us. So if you feel that there's something in your life that is pulling you down and keeping you stuck and keeping you from all that God has for you, that's where the self comes in, is where you look at yourself and you have to do some work to see what areas am I finding that I'm allowing the enemy to speak lies into, that I'm believing and holding on to and entertaining those thoughts. So first of all, do that. Be realistic. Don't compare yourself to other people. Be satisfied that what you're doing is your best. If you're doing things unto the Lord and you're keeping God first, then you need to be able to look at yourself and say, okay, I'm where I need to be and I'm doing well. You know, look at your positives. Focus on the positives. Don't beat yourself over every little negative thing that you do or area that you need to grow in. We all have to grow. We all make mistakes. What are we going to do with them? It's not what happens. It's what we do with what happens. How do we handle it?
Yeah.
We need to look inside and look to the Lord, because He's the one who's going to be speaking the truth into our lives. So really the Word of God has to combat whatever the lie is. Be grateful. Be grateful for what we have. Appreciate that your life is a gift from God. If you're alive right now, He gave you that gift, and He created you for a purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And you're not an accident. I don't care how you were conceived or if you're here and you were given up for adoption, you are not an accident. God created you for a purpose. He loves you. You're His. So I think some of those things are what I would say and encourage people to take in.
That is fantastic, Lorraine. That is awesome. Alicia, I want to ask the same question to you.
In regard to, could you restate
what are some of the practical suggestions would you give to people that are trying to develop a healthy self-image of who they are, especially in Christ Jesus, and also the ones who are maybe not as, they may have different levels of belief systems when it comes to God, but they're still struggling with a poor self-image of who they are.
Okay. And practical steps? Well, I would just say one of the things that I think about when it talks about in John chapter 8, where it says that if you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So even being set free from the lie of, you know, you're not good enough, or the lie of just the poor self-image, you really have to continue that process, continue the journey in the word. And I can recall even years ago as I was, you know, delving into God's word and really looking for a breakthrough, I remember one of the things that the Holy Spirit so clearly brought to my attention is that he started to show me that, Alicia, you're starting in areas and you're not continuing to study in that same area in order to get a breakthrough in it. And so he was just showing me the importance of, if your challenge is really having a poor self-image or low self-esteem, then I would encourage you, get out a concordance, if you know what that is, or just go to your Bible and start looking up all the different scriptures that deal with identity in Christ, you know, and start writing down those different attributes, you know, start writing down what those things say, and then just daily begin to meditate on those and let that nourish your soul. You know, the Word of God says in Psalms that the law of the Lord is perfect, and it converts your soul. So if your soul is wounded, meaning your inner emotions, the way you see yourself, and all of those different components are wounded, but as you begin to get into the Word of God and allow that Word to begin to renew your mind and begin to reshape the way that you see yourself, you're going to gradually begin to conquer those lies that may have been built up since childhood.
Wow. I was almost going to give you another applause there, Alicia.
Right, you're funny. We're going to save the applause only for your corny jokes at the beginning.
Okay. I want you to remember one thing, or a few things. God loves you deeply. That can be found in Romans 5:8. God honors you so highly. That is that can be found in 1 John 3, verses 1 to 2. God has provided for you fully. That can be found in Philippians 4:19. And God has planned for you so carefully. That can be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. And God delights in you. That can be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. So, and Christ, God does not condemn you. And that can be found in Romans 8:1. So, I mean, guys, we really have to consider these facts. Ronnie, what do you have to say about practical solutions, man?
Well, I can only echo the truth that has been told. The word of the living God is the solution. Because esteem of yourself, whether it's high or low, is an opinion or a judgment of yourself. And if your opinion doesn't line up with the word, if your judgment of yourself doesn't line up with the word, then you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. We were talking earlier about, like, someone with low self-esteem has to do with being selfish, you understand? Self, looking at yourself, your opinion of yourself, your judgment of yourself. And it's the same for a cocky person. The cocky person and the shy or low self-esteem person have the same problem, their opinion of themselves. Now, if they were to see themselves the way the Bible says it, one would be balanced. You would be balanced because you would be in the confidence that these scriptures are true, and then you would know your place spiritually, and then the effects will be seen physically. So all I could say is get into the book of Proverbs. That's wisdom. It'll help you see your place, that, you know, only God is supreme. And, you know, we should be thankful that we have these scriptures here to understand, you know, what is walking correctly on this earth for God. So the solution to any esteem issue, whether it be someone who's too full of themselves or someone who doesn't consider their worth, look into the scripture and take it as truth, and you'll see that there's power and spirit in these words to realign you, to put you in the right standing, to be truly helpful to you, because the way you, your opinion and your judgment of yourself and where you are, you know, will determine how far you go, what you overlook, and how helpful you are to the people around you. So start with the Word of God.
Absolutely. And guys, you heard what the panel said. Never allow yourself to be in that psychological head battle with yourself. And, you know, never allow people, situations, circumstances, or even the wiles of the devil to validate who you are. God is the one who determines who you were, and he told you when he made you, it was all good. If you allow people to invalidate you, you will never validate yourself, and they will have power over you. So get your validation from the Word of God. God determines who you are, not the world, not the music videos, not your car, your money, your clothes, your friends, or the people who you think are your friends. God is the one who validates you. Well, guys, we're almost to the end of the show. I know we have a caller from the 612 area code. I'm not going to put her on blast. I know she doesn't want to be. She just wants to listen in. But I want to thank Irma for calling in and listening in to the show. And I want to give a shout-out to Sonia Shari from Maryland. I want to give a shout-out to Jackie from Arkansas. And I want to give a shout-out to the panel, Mr. Ronnie. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Alicia Cheney. Guys, you know, Alicia is in – she's in the entertainment industry. She's around – famous people. She's around. She's very gifted. And if you haven't seen the guys, man, she's very attractive. So let me just tell you this: if she's attractive and she's in that circle and she's in the Word of God, that just goes. That just talks for her character and for who she is. Am I right, Ronnie?
Yep. Real articulate. Yeah, real intelligent. That's cool.
Exactly. And you know what? Last but not least, I want to give a shout out to Lorraine Klein. Lorraine Klein is our in-house Christian therapist. She's a psychologist. She's awesome in what she does. Lorraine, can you just let people know, like, if anyone's like really has any issues and they're too shy to call into the show, where can people reach you if they want some sort of counseling? I know you do counseling on Skype for people who are maybe in different states or out of the country, but how can people reach you?
Well, they can call me at 714-225-8489, and I'm not really doing Skype counseling at this point, but I have in the past. But if anybody wants to email, they can also email the email address that you gave at the beginning, and that can be forwarded on to me. I would really like to say I'd like to encourage people to seek out some help. If you are in a place that you're stuck, another tool the enemy uses for those struggling with this issue of insecurity and low self-esteem is he uses isolation, and he keeps people away from people. So if you don't have a good church, then find a good Bible-believing church. If you're with friends that are, you know, bad company, bad, you know, character corrupts good people, and if you're desiring to have a change in your life, and you need to look at the people you're surrounding yourself and what are they telling you about yourself. You need to think about maybe making some changes even in the relationships you have and seek out some people that are going to be godly, that are going to be able to speak truth into your life and build you up. So it's really important to find that. So if you need somebody to speak to on a more in-depth level to address some of those issues, then find a good Christian counselor that's in your area that will be able to help you kind of walk through some of these things in the Word and be able to kind of dig a little deeper to make connections to help you have those moments that you can realize the truth and that allows God's Word to set you free as you take these steps. So thank you, Raz, for having me on the show. I always enjoy listening to everybody and learn from the panel as well, and I appreciate you and your ministry.
Awesome, man. You know, I just got a message from a listener who's listening live right now. Her name is Irma. Irma, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Hey,
yes.
Irma, how are you? Good, good. What do you think about the show?
It was, very informative. Sorry, I have you on speakerphone, so I wasn't having the phone in my ear. But very informative. Interesting thoughts and stuff. And overall, great conversation. It's a way to get the word out and see what people's views are and try to get an understanding of, what God wants all of us to do and be and how and so forth. So it's all good.
Now, let me ask you, Irma, was anything that anyone said that you identified with?
I'm sorry, one more time, please?
Was there anything that any of the panels said that you identified with?
Well, you got to remember, I came in late, so I was trying to, when I was trying to figure out what was the topic, and so by the time I figured it out, you were basically wrapping it up. So it's not like, it's like, I was ready to talk, but at the same time, too, in a way, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't say anything because then it would be so off base. Because it's like I jumped into something that I didn't know what the topic was. I got a little feel of it, But but overall, like I said, it was interesting views. Interesting views, but then also a way to get the word out, give people ideas and something to think about, something to go,
Absolutely. Well, Irma, I want to thank you for calling in.
I will say this. One thing that, I was listening to a radio station, and someone said the scripture, and it really popped out, and it's like, if you can summarize the whole Bible, and basically like a thesis, there was one scripture which I have to locate it, but it was in Malachi. But then he had said in the scripture, Malachi says, what God has said is, what does God require of you? And obviously, due with self-esteem issues and stuff like that, okay, I get that, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, what does God require of you,
Yep.
And it's really simple. It's, because we make everything like a big project. It's really simple. He just wants you, and he wants you to be you. And he created you to be you. And yeah, we have issues, but the point is like, the Bible is a manual for all of us. And so basically the requirement is just that he just wants you to love him, love yourself, and love others.
Yeah.
But that's my, like I said, that's my little...
That was good.
A little contribution, huh?
Huh?
Your little contribution?
My little contribution to the self-esteem issues and, what the men and women see and, all that
well,
stuff.
It's much, much appreciated. And we really appreciate you. Please call us back in next week and be on time.
My calendar, it's like all of a sudden, I've been almost out, like, throughout this whole time, and then all of a sudden my reminder kicked in. I'm like, really? You're kind of late. So, it's all good.
It's all good, Irma.
Can you share your email address one more time, Raz, for anybody that might want to email you?
Sure, definitely. To email us, they can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. So, guys, I think that's all we have time for right now. Tune in again for the same time next week, and we'll see you next week. I'm Raz Williams, and God bless you, and that's my comment.
Peace.